Today on VFN TV, it's Aliyah. The Jews are coming back home to Israel. And we're also going to be discussing, are you Jonah? What epic outcome awaits your decision? Listen, the time is now. Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes on today's program is Steve Kolaszewski. Well, the Jews are coming home. They're returning home to Israel. This was prophesied in Isaiah 11, that God would gather them from all the nations of the world, and it's happening right now. In fact, there are many Jews that are living in France. France has one of the highest populations of Jews living in their country. And so many now feel that it's so unsafe to be a Jew in the country of France. And so they're leaving and they're coming back home to Israel. This is a prophetic fulfillment, and it's going to be happening even more as the nations are going to start basically releasing the Jews. They're going to want to come back home. I believe it's because it's going to be very unsafe for many of the Jewish people all around the world. But I want you to watch this as they rejoice as they come into Ben Gurion Airport. Watch this.
In this latest round of immigration, nearly 50 French Jews arrived at Tel Aviv's Ben Gurion Airport. These French Jews are just the tip of the iceberg of the many more Jews still in France that are considering immigrating to Israel.
We'll only be seeing a few dozens immigrants tonight, but throughout 2015, we have had the pleasure to welcome in Israel 8,000 immigrants from France. Last year, 2014, they were 7,200. There is a mass immigration to Israel from France.
Terror attacks in Paris this year, especially the attack on a kosher supermarket, along with rising anti-Semitism, spurred Jews in France to act.
Speaking, yes, last week to two young French Olim who had just come, they said to us that there isn't a person in France, Jew in France, who isn't talking about coming to live in Israel to some extent.
Right now, we can't live Judaism the way we would like to. We're careful not to wear our kippah in the streets. We don't stop living. Like in Israel, they don't stop living with all the terror attacks. In Israel, we'll be able to live our Judaism the way we want.
Yes, the French Jews are afraid, but it's not the only reason they want to come to Israel. It's also about conviction, because we think that for the Jews in France, Israel is the future.
Amar led the lighting of the Hanukkah candles as this group came from the City of Lights, Paris, to the Festival of Lights. They also enjoyed soufganiyot, a traditional donut served during the holiday. The immigrants, from toddlers to senior citizens, now start their new life in the land of Israel.
Tonight we got to see the unfolding of the faithfulness of the God of Israel to his people. As was promised in the prophet Isaiah, he's going to bring his people back to Israel from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And tonight we got to welcome people from the west.
This is it. This is where the Jews belong. The Bible, this is where we're supposed to be. There's no question about it. This is the land of the Jews.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Ben Gurion Airport, Tel Aviv.
Wow, that was awesome. It's so encouraging to see Israelis coming back, Jewish people coming back to Israel. It is so, so encouraging. And again, this is prophecy being fulfilled. And, you know, you don't want them to come back home, you know, under fear of their own lives. But as one of the young ladies said, listen, we're not coming here just for safety. We're coming because we're supposed to be here. We believe in the future of Israel, and we do too. When we get back from this break, we're going to be looking at a connected dots moment. So we're going to be asking the question, are you Jonah? With everything that's happening in the world, it's time for the Jonahs to come forth and to make their decision to stand and to do what God has called them to do. There are epic decisions, epic outcomes that are going to be, you know, come to fruition as a result of you answering the call of God on your life. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Amazing, amazing. We just heard a woman say that there's not anyone in France right now who's actually not considering leaving France, a Jewish person, to come back to Israel. Yeah. The tensions are such that the environment is such that now, you know, they can't even walk safely in their own country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at what you're hearing people say, and such a yearning to get back to the roots, get back to Israel. It's like the people in Israel are resilient people. They continue to live. They continue to live their beliefs, their value system, and they don't let so much hate that's coming towards them affect who they are as a people.
We can learn a lot from the Jewish people. They have overcome, like you've said, so much. And they don't just continue to survive. They thrive in almost every single environment. When you look at the population of the Jews, you know, that are really all over the world, Isaiah 11 says that they're scattered and they're going to be brought in from the four corners of the world. There are approximately about 14 million Jews that live in other countries. And it's pretty amazing that in France, there's almost a half a million Jews. Half a million Jews.
Wow.
And presently in Israel, there's 6 million Jews in living in Israel. So, you know, there's a coming land grab because people wonder, where are they going to go to?
Right,
well,
I
think the borders are going to increase. And when they do, there'll be plenty of room for more Jewish people to come. But some of the other countries, pretty amazing. Russia has 311,000. The United Kingdom has 293,000. Interesting that in the United States, let's see here, there are about 5.2 million
wow.
Jews living in the United States. And they break them down by cities, too, which I think is interesting. New York City, 2 million Jews. Jerusalem has 705,000, Los Angeles 684,000, Chicago 270,000, Paris, the City of Lights, 284,000 Jews. Amazing. London, 195,000. São Paulo, Brazil, 75,000 Jews. And so it's beautiful to see Jews all over the world. And it's wonderful for them to be able to go back home. As just as I was watching all of this happen, I remember myself when I went to Israel. And just, it's an amazing feeling just to be in Israel. It's very overwhelming, especially when you go to some of the biblical sites. I mean, this is where Jesus walked. This is where Jesus was buried. This is where the disciples were. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. And I highly recommend, if you ever get the chance to go to Israel, it is really, truly a trip of a lifetime. I remember having an abiding time right on the Sea of Galilee one morning and watching the sunrise. And I wanted to make sure I got up early. And I had so many moments like that while I was in Israel. I'll never forget it, over 20 years ago. And my heart is still in Israel, and I look forward and long to the time that I can actually go back. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a remote from Israel one day.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you, visit Israel when you can. Purchase something from Israel. Do everything that you can to support our Jewish brothers and sisters. And be a voice.
Yeah.
Be a voice.
Yeah, and if you want to go, if you know someone that's Jewish, or if you yourself are Jewish and you've always had that in your heart to get back to Israel, we'll have sources related where you can get information in regards to, you know, how do you plan that? How do I get to Israel? What do I do once I get there in regards to employment and so many other things? We'll make it related for you on The Torch.
Absolutely. Well, before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about a special offer that we do have available. It's Special Offer 2000. This is an act of war. This is what the president of France, François Hollande, said when they were attacked in Paris. And so is this the beginning of World War III? Is this the beginning of the Mark of the Beast? You want to get this, and all you have to do is become a partner for any amount, but it's our partners and our sponsors together that help us to continue to bring this biblical perspective to the region and to the world. And so you can be a part of that with us as we continue to share the light. I want you to watch this special offer, and would you prayerfully consider partnering today? Thank you. I want to share with you about our Special Offer 2000. You want to get this special offer just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the Francis president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information, one of which is that, is this a prelude to the Mark of the Beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed, and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. And guess what? It's already happened with 200 people living in India. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, and you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
I'm Malcolm Thomas, Superintendent of Schools for the Escambia County School District. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. May God bless each and every one of you.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One if by land, two if by sea. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Paul Revere and the folks in Charlestown had to watch for how many lanterns would be lit before his famous ride.
Look, the signal lights. Wait, they didn't stay on long. Just enough to warn the folks at Charlestown. Providence is smiling on us, gents. Row, quickly.
Revere was barely a step ahead of British soldiers.
Revere, Colonel Connett. Did you get the signal?
Yes, and your mount is ready.
Fine Larkin horse.
You need to know, Revere, that the British soldiers have been patrolling this road and the road to Cambridge all afternoon.
What?
If you think the ride is too treacherous, you needn't go. No one will fault you for staying.
Spread the word, Colonel. The British are on the move.
Yeah! God be with you, Paul Revere. Up, you patriots! Arise, you Minutemen! The British are coming! The British are coming!
Hear this heroic story today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, with everything that we're seeing happening on the world stage, I mean, we are not short of details and not short of events. Mm-hmm. You've got an economy, a global economy that has slowed way down. And many have prophesied and have seen economic collapse coming. We see terrorism on the rise like we've never seen it before, bold and just horrendous. We see what's happening in Syria. We see Russia, military activity that we have not seen in many, many years. We see Turkey involved. Israel's being threatened more than ever, and Iran is on the verge of getting a nuclear deal. All the while, in the United States, we have porous borders. We have riots. We have unrest. Things are happening all around us. And it's almost like there's a huge vacuum as if people are waiting for someone or somebody to come on the stage, come on the scene, whether it be a new president, whether it be someone new in Congress, whether it be a minister, someone to bring sanity. And the question is, and we're going to have in this connect the dots moments, we're waiting for Jonah. Are you a Jonah? Jonah was a man that God wanted to use for a specific purpose, for a specific time, to a specific city, and he was calling them to repent. But where was Jonah? What was Jonah preoccupied with? And did he even feel like he was supposed to or qualified? And he had all these rationales in his own mind and heart as to why he should or shouldn't follow what God was telling him to do. And many today are caught up in their own stuff and their own things. And they're waiting for someone else to be the answer. Maybe you're the answer. Maybe God has put something in your heart. You're tired of screaming at the television screen. You're tired of having these talks with other people. And some people just don't get it. But you get it. You understand. But you haven't been mobilized. You haven't said yes. You haven't said, here, Lord, here I am. Send me. I want you to take this in, as Greg shares with us. Are you Jonah? And what epic outcome weighs in the balance? This was a connected dots moments, but is so appropriate for what we're going through right now. Watch this.
We're going to be speaking today about the prophetic words that we're hearing right now since we last began to speak about some recent words that God was speaking about 60 years. 60 years that had taken place. That it takes 60 years for those that are planning terrorist attacks and doing them. It takes 60 years to be able for them to be successful, type thing. Mm-hmm. And so, what did God mean by that when he told me that in a dream? What was happening? And I'm going to begin to reveal that. And through a young man named Isaiah, God speaks and confirms specifically about that. And hopefully, we'll make that available too. We have an audio of him sharing what God said to him as well. And this is going to be rough. You got to pay attention. You know, it's amazing that people, you can talk to folks and they look at you. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't have a clue what they're thinking, but they're not even listening to you. And they're just thinking, well, I'd rather have them talking at me than not talking to me at all. But they're not listening to what you're saying. They're not following you. They're not following God. But yet they just, no, tell me more, but they're not going to do what you're saying. And it's like, well, you know, it's not going to end well for you. It's not going to end well for you because you're choosing your own direction. You know, you're choosing your own way when God is saying this is the way it should go. And this is the wildest thing. Wild meaning in our own finite minds trying to really grasp things is God waits for people. Mm-hmm. He waits for people and depends on people to act, right, and to do. Mm-hmm. And you think, do you really want to depend on human beings? I mean, think about Nineveh weighed in the balance. The Ninevites weighed in the balance on one man's struggle to obey God. Mm-hmm. One man, an entire city, a great city, the Word of God said. Either it was bound for destruction, but that was not what God wanted for it. But that's what he intended for if they didn't change. Mm-hmm. And he already had a due date when that was going to happen. And there's this one man that struggled. Well, I don't know, and I don't like Ninevites. And besides, I don't feel like that's my call, and I don't like being told what to do, and, you know, all this whatever. Mm-hmm. But it depended on one man, Pat.
That's amazing.
One man had an attitude with God. He actually thought it was about him, and it was about God. It wasn't about Nineveh, and it wasn't about Jonah. It was about God. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, Jonah's going to start sharing his opinion. You know, well, I think. And God's going like, excuse me?
I didn't ask you to think.
Excuse me, Jonah? You know? And so, and he begins to explain how evil they are. And his concern was, because he knew how good God was, that God was going to forgive them, God was going to restore them, and God was going to bless them. And he wanted them wiped off the face of the map. And be careful when you hear these folks saying, do away with them, destroy them. It's like, you don't know God. Mm. God is quick to forgive, and you could be left behind in a fire of unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness and not end well in your life because you thought it was about you. I'm offended. Go study Nelson Mandela and get over it. Because if anybody should be offended, it should have been Nelson Mandela. And he walked out unoffended. He walked out with forgiveness. He walked out with mercy. And he united a nation, and the whole world is honoring him this week. So you come on. Mm-hmm. So all of the city weighed in the balance because of one man's struggle. Is he going to obey God or not? I mean, I'm sure he called it a righteous struggle because he talked about somebody else's sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Nineveh. Look at their sin. Look how bad they are. Like, did I ask you your opinion, Jonah? And this is what God says. It's a powerful thing. You got to understand how good our God is. God loves you. If Jonah has had a conversation with you before he actually started doing what he's supposed to be doing, you probably didn't like it. But don't judge the future, your future in God, based off Jonah's first conversation with you. If you happen to be on the boat before he was in the well, don't listen to that. Redefine yourself based off what he's going to tell you later on. But this is what the creator of the universe said. He said this. He said, do you think I'm not concerned about such a great nation? They don't even know their left hand from their right. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And here you are getting all over these folks or this person, and they haven't had the upbringing that you've had. They don't know what you know. And you're judging them based off what you know. And the truth is, you don't know nothing if that's how you're acting. And you're saying that God doesn't love that person or love that city. That's not true. He does. And he says, and so he was concerned about this evil, this city that was doing these evil things. He was concerned about it. He wanted to save the city. But one man's struggle with obedience, one man putting himself in the equation, one woman, one man going, well, I don't feel like it, and I don't want to, and I don't think this, and it's going to get in the way of my job. It's going to get in the way of my marriage. It's going to get in the way of my children. It's going to get in the way of my parents, what I want in life, my vacation, whatever. And it's like, man, that whole city is about to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. America right now is on the edge of ending as we know it. I mean, it's still going to be here. But as we know it, it's on the edge of ending. And we have so many individuals. I mean, it's repulsive to me. I mean, it's like, do you think I have, you know, I'm so naive. I just was always naive. I mean, I was naive. I can't believe it. It's like, haven't we been singing and preaching and reading the word together? It's like, don't you care? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, not really, you know. You don't. Oh my goodness, I thought you believed what you preached. Don't you love them, folks? You talked about, I love you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Anyway, so the in the context of that this one man, this whole city weighed in the balance. Right now, America weighs in the balance and is waiting for you, Jonah, you, Mr. Jonah, Mrs. Jonah, to stand up and do what God's called you to do. He told you what to do, and he's told you, and he's been patient with you. And you've gone through these experiences, you've gone through struggles, you keep running from what God's called you to do, and you're thinking about you and what you want, and you don't like those folks, and you don't want this to happen, and God's going, I don't care about you right now. I'm talking about the people that are about to be destroyed, because once to die, then the judgment. Understand, they need to be given a chance to repent. I'm not saying that they will, but at least preach the truth to them, Jonah. At least preach the truth to them. So Jonah, all of a sudden, America starts rocking and rolling like a ship on a rough ocean. All of a sudden, the very country that Jonah's in, the very ship that he's in, hits rough seas. And it starts going all over the place. And he knows. I mean, he knows. He's thinking the whole time, this is all happening because I didn't do what God said. You know, these guys are suffering. How many people are suffering, Jonah? Mrs. Jonah? Mr. Jonah? How many people suffer? Do you even connect with the fact that people are suffering on the ship called America because you won't do what God told you to do? How many people are suffering? Do you understand that the boat in America is rocking because the church, the people God has called to bring the good news and the gospel and the love of God to this nation. I don't care if they don't know their right hand from their left. Understand, God loves Americans. God loves the people in this world. And imagine America being a ship and it's being tossed and turned, and they're saying, hey, print some more money. Let's just make new laws. Let's forget this. Let's do that. Maybe this will help. Maybe that'll help. And they're throwing all these things overboard trying to save America. And you, Jonah, talk about your vacation. You, Jonah, talk about expanding your house and making it bigger. You, Jonah, want to be able to have your frills in life and your me time. Why, the whole ship's going down. And finally, when these guys are praying on this America, the ship called USS America. They said, is it your God? Is he angry with us? And you know what Jonah's saying in America right now? Let me tell you what all the Jonahs are saying. The 50 Jonahs in 50 states, the 3,600 Jonahs in 3,600 counties are saying, they're going, yes, you're the reason why the boat's rocking. You're the reason why. It's your darkness. It's your sin. Mm-hmm. That's what Jonah's saying right now in America. Yeah. No, that's not what Jonah said on this boat. This is what Jonah said. He said, the reason why your life is rocking is because of my rebellion to God. You see, God loves these people that I don't love. And he wants me to go tell them that. And he wants me to tell them what they're doing is wrong, but he'll forgive them. And he'll restore them, and he won't bring destruction on them. But I don't like them. I don't want them to be saved. And you're suffering right now in America because I won't go to them and tell them that he loves them and will forgive them. And I don't think you'll hear Americans say this. So then he says, throw me overboard. Instead of throwing everything else, throwing the economy overboard, throwing our founding fathers overboard, throwing our Constitution overboard, throwing our Declaration of Independence overboard, throwing our school system overboard, throwing our legislature overboard, throwing our judicial branch overboard. Everything's being thrown over. And Jonah, you just keep blaming everybody instead of you because you won't go tell them. You're getting madder at them and more angry, and you got venom coming out of your mouth towards the Ninevites. And God's going, no, tell them. I love them. Tell them destruction is coming, but I love them and I don't want it to come. And if they will repent, I will turn and I'll bless them. Even Nineveh, I'll bless. And so Jonah says, throw me overboard. It'll stop all this. Throw me overboard. And so when they throw him overboard, America settles down. And so he thinks, well, this is it. And all of a sudden, the whale swallows Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale. When I get back, I want to talk to you about this is you, Jonah. Next time you get in front of a mirror today, look in your car mirror, look in any mirror, look in your phone mirror, and say, I am Jonah. We're talking about America, a ship under great turmoil. The ropes are cut. She's sinking. She's going through rough places. And Jonah is on board. There's got to be at least a Jonah in every state. Somebody that God said, go tell them. But you're bringing up, oh, you know, I got my job. I got my job. You know, my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my family. I got my comfort. And I got my convenience.
Yeah.
And besides, they're Ninevites. And I don't like them. And I can't believe that you like them, God. Right? That's pretty much what Jonah was saying.
Yeah, exactly what he said.
And so what Jonah was doing, Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites. He put them in two categories, it looks like. One category was they don't deserve the blessing of God like Jonah does. Secondly, that they're not going to respond anyway. I mean, think they're this evil nation to the point that God was going to destroy, I mean, city. God was going to destroy the city because they were so evil and they were doing so many bad things. I mean, you can only imagine, it's, you know, welcome to, you know, darkness. And so how many people look at people walking in darkness under dark oppression, dark environments and all, and they prejudge them? I'm not going to preach them the love of God because they're not going to respond. Mm-hmm. Who are you to withhold the love of God? Who are you to withhold the truth that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life? Jonah, who are you to be able to prejudge someone? It's not for you. You just tell them. And imagine, just like Jonah was on this ship, America is just rocking and rolling, 45-degree rolls, everything shaking and quaking. But you're like, where's Jonah? Hello? Are you anywhere to be found? Josiah, Jonah, where are you? Busy about my things. And so they throw him overboard. I mean, think about this. If you're not going to do something, Jonah, They might as well just chunk you in the Gulf or chunk you in the Atlantic, or chunk you in the Pacific or in Lake Erie, whatever. I mean, come on. Maybe there's a well to bring you, you know, around to the right place. And so when they throw him overboard, he's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. He's willing to die instead of go to Nineveh. And I got to be honest with you, and not in regards to people, but it gets to a time in your place, in your life, you're just thinking, like, I've preached and I've taught. And it just seems to be unresponsive. And it's just like, you know, please, isn't there some other, you know, can you just, like Jerry Clower said when he was wrestling with some animal, I can't remember what kind of animal it was. And some guy said, just shoot it. And he goes, I'm scared I might shoot you. And he goes, just shoot up amongst us. We need some relief in here, you know.
Right.
That Jonah was prejudging the Ninevites. That one is they didn't deserve God's blessing. Secondly, is they were not going to repent. How could somebody so evil do what's right? Have you looked in the mirror lately? That's us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's forgiven us, and he'll forgive us if we repent. We are them outside of him. That's who he saved us from. And so here he does. He goes to Nineveh. He goes to America. He goes to his county, his city, his state, his region. And he begins to tell them, listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. The direction that we're going is leaving God. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to God. He begins to preach preach what God is saying. This is not good. And it's bigger than he can cover in the time frame he needs to cover it. So God has a due date for their destruction. There's a due date for the destruction of Nineveh. And I feel like in my heart, for America as we know it, there's a due date for us to be transformed as we know it if we don't wake up. And this is what God did. God delayed the due date of the disaster that would destroy Nineveh to give Jonah time to make it to everyone. To give you time to pick up VFN radio, VFN TV in your city. To give you time to sponsor us to go into a new area to tell every single day. We're live every single day, talking every day about what God is saying. What are you doing? Giving you time to quit spending everything on yourself. And he delayed. He gave him more time because he needed more time to physically go to this large city to tell everyone. And once he told everyone, you know, that you can imagine Jonah's response would be, you know, other than the responses he's seeing right away, he's like, well, okay, I've finished my job. I'm out of here. But you know what? To his amazement, to his surprise, and God's knowing, because he knows all things, none of us leader, which would be the king, the evil king, right? Mm-hmm. All the way down to all of his folks, heard, God confirmed the word, their hearts were broken, they felt bad for what they have done, they fasted, they turned away from food. I mean, even their cows, they went and shoved muzzles over their cows so their cows couldn't eat. Listen, this is serious. Listen to God, and the whole nation, the whole city turned. And God stopped the plans that was intended for it. But it took Jonah. It took the whinier Jonah to go do what God had told him or her to do. How many people today are in turmoil seas because you won't do what God's told you to do? I couldn't imagine facing God looking at Nineveh burning in hell because you judge them yourself. I think there's a special place for those folks who decide to send people to hell because they refuse to obey God. I mean, think about it. Yeah. That's a huge thing.
That's huge.
Somebody that Jesus died for, you judged and threw down the gavel for, and you didn't even care that they go to hell. You didn't even do what he told you to do. Thank God Jonah went. Jonah went, they repented, God relented, it changed. And when he was finished ministering there, he still had the same attitude because he's sitting outside the city and complaining about it's hot. Let me tell you something. It's time for us to lay down our life, pick up our cross, Jonah, and do what God has called us to do. He's told you to do it. It's time to do it.
What a now word. It's time for the Jonas to rise up and to do what God has called us to do. Listen, regret is a horrible, horrible word, and even a more horrible thing to experience. Listen, you don't want to experience regret. You can decide today to stop looking for the answer and become the answer. You're the answer to the nations. God wants to use you, but you got to and must be willing to say yes. I want to go to a break, but as we do, I want to talk to you about the Vine Seminar. This is a perfect transition segue to the Vine Seminar. It's coming, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. It's about us coming together and taking it some time with just an intimate group to really rethink and look at the original intent of what God wants to do with the church. And we look at the book of Acts and say, that was a dynamic church. What was happening during that time? And is it happening now? And can we journey back to God's original intent? Maybe this is for you. We want you to prayerfully consider being a part. I want you to watch this announcement. And if it's for you, sign up and be a part.
So what do you do? I mean, you get this difficulty, difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, mm-hmm. what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, mm-hmm. and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. And but it's really, you know, we went on this journey sometime back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church. You know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel darkness. And we had to find out we're supposed to be a go-ye church instead of a come-ye church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said, and begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom, the fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine, my father's the gardener, you're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to his word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see the Vine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Are you Jonah? Mm. Are you Jonah? Listen, everybody's waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for an answer.
The message is in you. Tell people.
And it's like, you know, Steve got saying, maybe it's you, the church.
Yeah.
But it, you know, we are carriers, torchbearers. You know, we bring the good news with us. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel, but you got to go.
Yeah, it causes you to ask the question, is that, are we waiting on God or is God waiting on us?
Yeah, I don't think we're waiting on God, right?
And you've talked about it before. It's just like when you think about the horrid consideration of regret. Mm. And it's, you know, you got to ask yourself, how differently would you live your life if you truly lived in the values of eternity and the realities of what eternity is? And if we thought on that perspective, we would live our lives completely differently.
I agree. I think so many believers, we walk out in life and I think they live like they're free from the responsibility of sharing the gospel. It's every single one of our responsibilities to do, not only just to share the gospel, but to walk in complete obedience to the Lord. And we're all going to be held accountable. I mean, that day is coming. And the question is going to be asked, what did you do? What did you do?
Mm-hmm.
And we better have a good answer, you know? And I think about, you know, did we build bigger barns? Did we focus on our lives and building our own homes? Or did we hear God? Did we obey what he told us to do? And can he say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? Those are the words that I want to hear.
Oh yeah.
And but maybe this is you, because you're frustrated and you're praying and you're looking at what's happening and you're thinking that maybe it's somebody else that's supposed to do something, but it's you, Jonah. God's talking to you. And if not you, then who? And if not now, when? God is looking for a people that would actually take him seriously at his word, that will walk intimately with him, that will abide with him, and they would hear his voice and do what he's told them to do. Listen, Jonah said, the reason why this boat is rocking is not because of you guys, because of me. And maybe what's happening in this world, why it's rocking, is maybe because us, the church, maybe we're not doing what God has called us to do. We're doing everything else but what God's told us to do. And he told us, Jesus told us, go and make disciples. And this is the time more than ever that people need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's right about now. Jonah, hear God and do what he tells you to do. I want to close this out today with prayer. And I want to ask you to continue to pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. Father, Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, to have this opportunity with those that are viewing the program today. Father, we ask you, Lord, for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that would obey, God. Lord, we're not going to look for someone else to be the answer or some other thing to be the answer, but Lord, we're going to receive what you've told us to do, and we're going to be about the Father's business. Heaven full, hell empty, Lord, and we want to continue to share the gospel and the good news with everyone, God, while we can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?